Yeah, they got Jordy Ben. It was like one of the brothers. Yeah, no, Jordy Ben. But he's good. Like, he's basically Patterin, but, like, maybe a little bit better. Okay. So, I'm cool with it.
And better in, like, ability or better because...
Like, he just might be the better player. Right. And he'll actually play. Because that was the big thing with Patterin is they just weren't going to play him. So, yeah. You probably want to use this as, like, the intro.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too.
This is, like, the throwaway discussion.
Yeah, maybe I should get close to the mic, then.
Someone should have told Montreal that Jordy Ben and Jamie Ben are not the same person.
Nah, I'm cool with the trade.
It'd be funny if the next Montreal game, you see Jordy Ben slotted at forward.
Yeah, it's like, oh, shit.
They don't know the difference!
I'm cool with it.
Welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. It's been about a day. Has it even been 24 hours?
No, it's been like 22.
All right, so the trade deadline season is upon us. It, basically now, instead of having one big day of all trades, we have about like 3 days of insanity, it seems. And the insanity was in full force today. Bunch of trades. Started off small with Teemu Pulkkinen. Going, do you guys want to break that? No.
the trade we were all waiting for. It finally happened, guys.
And then, let's see what else happened. Yeah, Alexander Burrows traded to Ottawa for Jonathan Dahlin and a draft pick, I think. So, pretty dumb trade there. And then they re-signed, the Senators re-signed Burrows to a two-year 2.5 AAV deal.
And the analysis on that is stupid.
Well, they traded, they traded one of their... like best prospects for a third liner who's 36.
Yeah. Who and hasn't been good in like 5 years.
And only had really two good years.
Yeah. And then the Senators GM came out and said, yeah, I had five veterans come up to me and say how happy they were about the trade.
Yeah, because he won't be biting them.
Yeah, I mean, anyway. So that's a bad trade.
Yeah.
And then I mean, well, it's a great trade for Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Like, for Vancouver. They did pretty well. Yeah,
shocking for Vancouver.
Yeah, Jim Benning did a good thing.
Yeah, which is, like, really rare for him.
And then Brian Boyle.
Oh, yeah. Brian Boyle went to Toronto, which is kind of a weird one to me. But I think that says clearly they're, like, going to try to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because they've been preaching for a while now that they want to be patient, that they're looking, they're kind of taking the long view, but. I think it makes sense for them because if you think about it, they're close and why not just go for it? Like, what's the point of missing the playoffs by like 4 points or 2 points? Might as well get in, get these young guys some experience. So,
yeah,
I think I'm happy. I mean, he's a fourth liner.
I mean,
he's a good fourth liner.
They're starting to build a good fourth line with Matt Martin and now Brian Boyle.
Hockey's best fourth line, maybe.
Yeah,
and then I mean their blue line still kind of sucks. So yeah, that's not really. Been addressed.
Yeah, but they're in that last playoff spot last time I checked, and Brian Boyle's a good penalty killer, and he brings that veteran leadership that, you know, everyone loves, and I mean, I think it's a good thing for them. He's had some good seasons.
Yeah, like I like him as a player, and I think he's going to help them. I think there is something to the notion that, like, he's the older veteran, and then you have this kind of younger group, and he's going to get in there. He's been in some playoff games, so, you know, it's a good move. I think it's a good kind of, like they know they're playing with house money. They didn't give up a whole lot for him, so, and it doesn't really make them radically better, but it does kind of give them that little a bit of a boost. So I like it.
Yeah, it's a thumbs up move.
It's a non-committal type situation.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Okay, but the big move of the day, and it kind of came pretty late. It was like maybe around 7 p.m., 6 p.m. Western or Pacific Coast time. Well, Kevin Shattenkirk
finally moved.
Washington Capitals. I mean, it was rumored in the previous few days that he might be going there, but I never actually thought they would do it. And, I mean, they didn't give up anything for him. They traded a first-round pick and a second-round pick in 2018 and a prospect, Zach Ranford, who's supposed to be, like, a decent prospect. So, nothing off the current roster. A pick that's going to be probably the 30th pick. Who knows how high that pick's going to be. And then a 2018 second rounder, which again is probably going to be, assuming they have another good season, not going to be that high of a pick. So, I mean, to get a guy like Shattenkirk, who's pretty much a bona fide, you know, number one defenseman, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, they got to be the favorites now, right? If they weren't already,
are they?
Are they?
I don't know.
I think they are. I mean, One of the interesting things that I saw, because I was just on Twitter, like, as this whole thing was going down, and someone tweeted that this is almost as much about keeping Pittsburgh from getting him as much as it is Washington benefiting from his services.
That's probably a good move by Washington, it seems like.
Especially considering that Pittsburgh is kind of hurting for defensemen right now.
Yeah, they have been.
They kind of always have been. I mean, they did get Ron Hainsey, which helps in the kind of short term, but he's not changing your life by any means.
Yeah, but it seems like who knows exactly how well Pittsburgh's going to do against some of the other teams, not named Washington. But it seems like whenever Pittsburgh and Washington meet in the playoffs, you know, I think it's only been a couple times, but Washington has not been outclassed, but they haven't come out. No, like, they haven't beat them.
Right.
Yeah, so Pittsburgh gets Kevin Shattenkirk. It makes Washington's life a lot tougher. And, you know, by picking him up, it makes it just that much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when I first heard that this was part of the rationale behind the move could have been to kind of keep Shattenkirk away from Pittsburgh, I was like, all right, that's not a great reason to trade for someone. Like, especially if you're giving up a lot, but they didn't really give up anything. So,
and that player was someone other than Kevin Shattenkirk. You know, that rationale, you know, it's...
Yeah, it's Kevin Shattenkirk. The only problem now, I mean, problem kind of in quotation marks, is that they have three really good right-handed defensemen, Carlson, Niskanen, and Shattenkirk.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you're going to have to find a way to either have one guy playing on his offside, or each of them plays 20 minutes a night, you know, like perfectly split. So a lot of people were saying that as like a kind of a reason to not like the trade as much. To me, you know, and you look at their left side with Alsner, Orlov, Orpik, and Schmidt. I mean, this is a really good, I mean, outside of Orpik, maybe. This is a really good contingent of blue liners. And if one guy does shift over to the left, I heard that Niskanen has played lefty in the past and been pretty good at it. So I just feel like when you can never have too much talent.
Right.
And when you put that many talented guys together, it'll just kind of sort itself out. So I'm not really worried. I think it's a legitimate thing to bring up, though.
Yes.
And especially given the fact that their first unit power play has been so good, there's no way that Shattenkirk is... I mean, maybe he'll play on the first unit if they feel like switching things up. But really, he's probably going to be playing on the second unit, which kind of limits a bit of his upside. So, you know, these are kind of nitpicky points against the move. But ultimately, again, they didn't really give up anything, and they get vastly more talented.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just like you can never have too much talent. I don't really get why people are like, oh, they didn't need Kevin Shattenkirk. Yeah, well, no one needs a Stanley Cup. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, like everyone's going to get paid regardless.
Like, it's not like you can only drink water out of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I don't know. I think that's trying to be a contrarian more than anything, but what do I know?
Yeah, I think so. But like you said, when you can bring in a number one defenseman, not a third pair defenseman, but a number one defenseman, which is what he is, and not change your roster, which is already looking like it's bound for glory. Like, it's a great move, especially since Matt Niskanen is hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I...
What's his timetable?
I'm trying to remember what it is right now. I actually... God, there have been so many injuries this year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm having trouble, like, keeping up with
it. Yeah. I mean...
We'll get our fact checker on that.
I mean... One thing that's kind of concerning is, and again, this is so nitpicky, but who's going to step out of the lineup now, you know, once they're all healthy? Because, you know, apparently Nate Schmidt is the new kind of like under the radar defenseman that everyone loves this season.
Mm.
So,
and he's having a good year.
If he's the seventh guy on most nights and then you got Orpik in there, I mean, I don't know if that's a great trade-off, but hey, I mean, you're adding a guy who could be a number one defenseman in a lot of teams, so...
Yeah, I mean, as it is right now with the injuries, they're rolling out there with Alsner and Carlson, Orlov and Taylor Chorney, and then Aaron Ness and Nate Schmidt.
Right.
So, Ness is coming out.
Yeah.
And then we'll... I think Nate Schmidt has earned his keep in the lineup, so I don't see him coming out.
Yeah, you never know.
But this is all good problems for this team.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of like when, I mean, I hate to use the basketball analogy, but, you know, it's like when the Miami Heat came together and they signed Wade and LeBron, or when they signed LeBron and Bosch and they brought him over to Miami with D-Wade, or in Golden State when they brought over Durant, people are saying, well, there's only one basketball. You don't know how that's going to work out. But I just think that when you put that many talented players together, it just kind of sorts itself out. It may take time, but to me, you add in already a really savvy defenseman who kind of already plays, I think, the way that Washington likes to play, which is more, you know, puck control, high offense or high octane offense. So I feel like he's going to be a natural fit. I don't think there's going to be much of an adjustment period. And
it's really hard playing with some of those Washington players.
And that's the thing. He's going to, and you know, as good as St. Louis was, Shattenkirk's never had the luxury of playing with this caliber of forward talent. So, and, you know,
and you know, to wrap up that thread, Matt Niskanen, lower body injury.
That knee on knee with Gudas.
Yeah. And he's been participating in practice, like full practice, but he's probably going to be ruled out for Tuesday's game against New York.
So he'll be back anytime.
Yeah. It's not like he's going to be long-term missed playoffs.
Yeah. I just think, you know, there is sometimes too much of a good thing if you have sort of another pressing need. And I was writing about this earlier with Anaheim. They have a lot of great defensemen, but they don't have a lot of good forwards. And at a certain point, if you're going to hoard all of those assets, it becomes kind of like diminishing returns to have all of them because you have another pressing need. But with Washington, I mean, they don't really have any needs now. They don't really have any. I mean, maybe they could have added another forward, maybe another left side D, but really, you look at it now, and they don't have anything else to really add. Like, they're not overloading on defensemen because their forward group is already maybe the best in the league outside of Pittsburgh.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I can't wait to see what they decide to do with the power play. It's hard to imagine them breaking up the first unit because it is so good.
Yeah, I can't see that happening, but I think if you're Barry Trotz, it's worth a try.
Yeah.
Because who knows? Maybe it could work. Maybe not better, but you can at least have that to go to in the playoffs if your first unit starts to not click or something.
And you know teams game plan around that power play for sure. So by the time you get to the playoffs, if they figure it out or if it just runs cold for whatever reason, it's nice to have that insurance policy.
And in the past, a few years ago when they still had Mike Green, you know, we saw Green constantly injured. And John Carlson was more than adept at running the second unit and then stepping in when Matt Green got hurt. You know, so
Matt Green.
So, you know, it's not an unfamiliar scenario having that kind of talent on the back end for Washington, you know, when referring to the power play, and them being able to be productive when whoever's out there without missing a beat.
Right. Yeah, I mean that's the thing is, and that's why I like the fit even more is because I feel like, you know, a lot of times in the off season we see these big free agents get signed, and it's I kind of think back to Minnesota when they brought in Parise and Suter, or you know, I mean just any team that's made splashy moves, it took time for it to come together because you're kind of building from the ground up. But when I look at Washington now, I think this is already kind of a finished product, like. Shattenkirk is stepping into a situation where he's not having to build anything. All he has to do is get in line, and I feel like they're going to allow him to kind of flourish on his own as well.
Yeah, I mean, Washington's been cup favorites for the bare part of 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, yeah, they're going for it.
Yeah, and that's the thing that people were bringing up, and I think is totally valid, is that, look, they have a lot of pending RFAs. You know, Ovechkin, although he's still fantastic, he's not getting any younger. I mean, no one is. No one ever gets younger.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of hate using that phrase.
Yeah, when did that ever happen? Benjamin Button doesn't count. That was not real.
I don't want to sound, like, fatalistic, get younger.
That goes along with the expression if he left his feet.
Yeah. But all that to say that I think Washington knows, they understand the gravity of the moment. And you look at the current, you know, sort of, you know, the field of competition they're going to have to face. And no one's really, I feel like the cup is for anyone's taking this year. I really think that even out of the West, you know, it's such a murky field, but if someone just makes a splashy move, all of a sudden you're in it. And I think with Washington, they realized, hey, our clock is running out. Why not just, I mean, we have to go for it. I think they understood the gravity of the moment. And I, even if this trade doesn't work out, which I think now the only problem is the only acceptable outcome is a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
That might have been the case before, but now it's definitely like on steroids. even so, I think you have to give them credit for being bold, because I think not enough GMs are bold, you know, and like sometimes there's being bold for the sake of being bold. You know, PK Subban, Shea Weber comes to mind.
Yeah.
But to me, this is, they didn't give up anything, at least tangible in the short term, and they only got better, you know, and I hate to always bring back to Anaheim, but I was writing about this earlier because this whole trade got me thinking, you know, like with Bob Murray, he keeps talking about how he doesn't have to move anyone. It's like, sure, you don't have to move any defensemen, but all your top guys, you have about $20 million invested in three guys. None of them are on the like right side of 30.
Right.
It's kind of now or never, you know, and maybe you run it back next season and make a couple moves in the offseason. But if you don't make a move now, you know, you'll be happy. I mean, will you really be all that happy that you have eight defensemen that are pretty good in the offseason? You have to go for it sometimes.
If anything, what you're saying about, you know, not just Anaheim, but Stars being on, you know, the wrong side of their prime.
Yeah.
That's more of a reason to make smarter moves.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's going to be more, if you don't win it this year, it's going to be more difficult next year just because of time. You know?
Yeah.
So like
it never gets easier. And I think with Washington, look, they could have done nothing. They could have done absolutely nothing and no one would have said anything.
Right.
They would have still been considered a favorite. And, you know, they would have, if they hadn't made the cup final, it would have been very disappointing. But it would have also, I don't think people would have been as shocked or as disappointed. Now they've raised the stakes on themselves. They haven't shied away from the limelight. But at the same time, they didn't have to do this and they did it anyway. And I think, again, that just goes back to how much credit you should be giving their general manager, Brian McClellan, for doing it, because it's such a bold move.
Yeah, and the thing is, by adding him, now they can't, at the end of the season, after the Stanley Cup has already been handed out, they can't say, oh, well, Kevin Shattenkirk was on the table and we missed it. Like,
that's the other thing.
They're putting themselves in the best possible chance that they can put themselves in.
Yeah, so to kind of spin it forward now a little bit, what do you do if you're the Penguins? Do you trade for Matt Duchene? Like, I mean, how do you counterpunch?
I mean,
do you counterpunch at all?
I was thinking about that because obviously everyone wants to keep pace. You don't want to see your rival make a move and then feel like, okay, now we're a step behind them. But I think with the injuries that Pittsburgh has, defense is kind of a bigger issue than adding Matt Duchene. Like, obviously,
yeah.
It would be awesome to have Matt Duchene, but I don't know if he is like the piece that they actually really need.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that he's the guy. Like, I'm just kind of throwing out, like, do you go for a splashy move?
Right.
You know, like, do you all of a sudden, is that required? Are the Penguins right now good enough to beat the Capitals in a series?
I mean, they're fast enough, but
like, this is the thing, because I've been thinking about this. They, even with the injuries that they have, they still look really good right now. And guys like Jake Gensel are stepping up. Guys that you don't expect. It's not always Crosby and Malkin. They've got good things going on outside of those core players. But is it going to happen come playoff time? Or are Crosby and Malkin going to get shut down? And will the other guys still be able to pick up the slack? Like,
and who knows what their health situation is going to look like? You never know with Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they lost Trevor Daley last year in the playoffs.
And they've lost him this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, too, with Washington, is now they've kind of injury-proofed themselves a little bit. You know, like, if John Carlson goes down or any big-time guy, well, you still got Kevin Shattenkirk. I mean, you know, it's kind of like what the LA Kings think they're doing.
Yeah, with Ben Bishop.
Yeah, but I'm excited. I still think Pittsburgh can beat the Capitals.
I think that would be a hell of a series.
I mean, I think now, though, it's more than obvious that the Penguins would be the underdogs in that series.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And that's saying a lot, because that is a really good team.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, their defense just never really looks that impressive on paper, but they put up scoring chances, shots, goals at a rate that is just kind of insane.
Yeah.
You know? And they do it with all this talent and not this like amazing blue line. So,
and Matt Murray is secretly rocking a 926.
Yeah. But, and then you factor in also the fact that, look, you still got the Columbus Blue Jackets who might make a move.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think Columbus were kind of over, like, you know, everyone, when the trade went down, everyone started tweeting about how, oh, like, how does this affect Pittsburgh? But Columbus is still right there.
Oh, yeah. Like, when, you know, my first thought when Washington acquired Shattenkirk was, you know, thinking back to the series against Pittsburgh. And, you know, if that shakes out again, then, you know, it's going to be, you know, the story, it's going to be interesting. It's what the NHL wants. But there's no guarantee that one of them won't get matched up with Washington. And, you know, Pittsburgh, and this isn't Crosby and Dubinsky talk, this is, you know, Pittsburgh and Columbus. Columbus has played Pittsburgh well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's no guarantee that Pittsburgh is even going to make the conference final.
I mean, you could make the argument that the Blue Jackets are better than the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
You could, like, I would listen to that. I still like the Penguins better because I just would rather bet on Sidney Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, Letang, those guys than the Blue Jackets. But look, Cam Atkinson has 30 goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're deep at pretty much every position. And
their goaltending is definitely better than Pittsburgh's.
And their goaltending, well, I like Bobrovsky. I mean, he's obviously very good, having a, you know, a Vezina type season, but
again,
you know, in a playoff series, I think it's kind of a toss up between both goaltenders, because I think Murray or Fleury can get really hot. Fleury can also be atrocious,
yeah. And so can Murray.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. I mean, I kind of like both, so.
I wouldn't say atrocious for Murray, but, like, looking very average.
He can kind of step down, but he doesn't have to be great.
It will be interesting, though,
yeah.
Because he has another season under his belt, and he was good in the playoffs last year, but definitely did not have to be good against San Jose,
yeah.
And at times was not.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be more consistent this time around. Who knows?
Yeah, I just wonder if you're a team in the Western Conference right now, like, what do you make of all this? Do you... Because, I mean, the West, I just think more than ever, I think there's not a Western team that's going to win the Cup this year. Because let's say Washington and the Sharks play in the final right now, which is a final that we've heard predicted, like, so many times.
Right.
Not this year, but in the past.
Going back to, like, 2005, 2006.
I think the Caps are the favorites in that series, too. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think the Sharks look kind of slow. The Caps are not slow. And Braden Holtby is maybe the best goalie in the league right now and plays behind probably now the best blue line and the best offense.
I mean,
it's like this team is so ridiculous.
Just looking at the narrative crystal ball for a second, you know, the Capitals make the Stanley Cup final. In other words, Ovechkin finally makes the Stanley Cup final. Everyone is going to pick Washington to be the favorite. It's like, they finally got over the hump.
Yeah.
They just have one more step.
Like, now
to go.
They can't lose.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What team wouldn't want Alex Ovechkin on their team in the Cup final? You know,
yeah.
So, no matter who Washington would potentially match up with, assuming they get to the finals, the Capitals will be the favorites.
Yeah. I mean, if they play Minnesota, I'd be curious.
Oh, yeah.
I think they'd probably still be the favorites, but I don't know. The Western Conference to me right now is just kind of. I mean, St. Louis basically just said, like, we're not going for it this year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is clearly a rebuild move. I guess we haven't really discussed it on the St. Louis side.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it's kind of funny, too, because Jake Allen is starting to play better. Like,
yeah, like the one thing that was holding them back is all of a sudden,
like, becoming a strength again.
Yeah, I think I saw a stat that in the last, it's either 5 or 10 games, I think St. Louis has the best save percentage in the league.
Yeah.
Who would have thought it?
I mean, that's just kind of how these things go. You know, like, goaltenders run hot and cold, and when they run really cold, at some point they're going to, you know,
be questioned.
Like, violently regress back to the mean or above the mean. So.
Yeah, but now.
I don't know.
Now they don't have Shattenkirk, and I mean, Robbie Fabry's hurt, so.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, St. Louis still has a really good roster.
Yeah.
I mean, you still have Pietrangelo. Parayko. I mean, they're still a good team, but they're no longer I don't think they're in that mix anymore. You can't lose a guy like Shattenkirk and still hope to be in that conversation if you don't have anything else coming up,
especially in that division, because Minnesota is still really good and Chicago is playing very well right now.
Yeah.
Nashville is on fire.
Nashville is on fire, and if
Philip Forsberg cannot be stopped.
I mean, if Nash
by Richard Panik,
yeah. Superstar.
If Nashville continues at this pace and they settle in, I mean, look out.
Yeah.
Because we've been waiting on this. you know, for a long time.
I mean, when it comes to St. Louis, you know, the question past few years, you know, ever since, you know, oh my God, Tarasenko became a superstar and they got Ryan Miller. And, you know, it's been, you know, is this their year? Is this their year? And, you know, the window is closing, but, it, you know, they still have a shot. And they make the Western Conference final last year, losing six. And suddenly Backus is gone. Yeah. Shattenkirk is gone. Elliott is gone. You know, like all like the face of the franchise from like basically their old guard is like all of them are gone. Like, so they're very clearly in, you know, rebuild now.
Well, not all the way. No, because you still got Petrangelo.
Yeah, like they still have some very good players, but like
and don't forget Hitchcock.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
yeah, of course. So
this is more of like the Doug Wilson coined term retool.
Yeah, so like they're definitely shifting, and you know, this year is not their year.
I would call it more than a retool because, I mean, I'm not gonna put Backus on this pedestal, but you don't just move a guy like Shattenkirk and fire a coach like Hitchcock if you're trying to really shift the direction.
Yeah.
Because when the Sharks did their retool, they weren't changing the core pieces of their lineup. They tried to.
Yeah.
But they...
That's very true.
I mean, they didn't move like a Vlasic. I mean, because this is the equivalent of moving like a Vlasic, you know, basically. I mean, different players, but kind of the same...
Their level of importance to their team.
Although, I don't know if St. Louis really views Shattenkirk the way we do.
I think... The more
I don't think they do.
The more I've read about this leading up to this day, it sounds like no one really values Kevin Shattenkirk way we do.
Which makes the Capitals all the smarter for doing this because they pounced on a sort of inefficiency, you know, and they have a really good player to show for it.
Yeah. I mean, they look scary now. There's just...
I don't know. As soon as I saw the first tweet about a trade call is being made, I thought... I went straight to like the betting sites to like put money on, and I couldn't. And they like for some reason I couldn't pull up the NHL futures. So,
God,
I bet you the line is now.
You didn't get your paperwork in on time.
See, yeah, I'm so pissed because I would have put like $50 on him, but yeah. Oh well.
I mean, I'm right there with you because two or three episodes ago, I said, "Man, wouldn't it be awesome if Kevin Shattenkirk went to." The Washington Capitals.
I don't remember you saying that. We might have to revisit the tape.
Oh, dude, we will play the tape. I said it. We all know I said it. That thing about him going to Boston that I said last night, that didn't really happen. But I definitely said, wouldn't it be awesome? I didn't call it because I didn't think it would really happen. But I, you know, I said, wouldn't it be nice? Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It happened.
It's reality.
So you thought of it. So there you go.
Yeah, I clearly have some sort of like brainwave chemistry with Brian McClellan.
He thought of, you know, the one player that looked like he was going to be on the move, and thought of, you know, all the teams that are in the NHL, and then picked one of them.
All 31 teams.
Yeah, that one.
Could Vegas acquire like a real player?
What do you mean?
So like, could Vegas acquire like Shane Doan right now?
Right now?
Would that be possible? No, I don't think they can, right?
No, technically they can't because there's still, for lack of a better term, legal paperwork that legitimizes them as an NHL franchise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that deadline, in order for them to participate in the trade deadline, passed...
Well, they
passed a
few
days ago.
But they can make trades. They can trade like future assets, but they can't... They have nothing to actually trade.
I was going
to
say, what assets do they have?
But they have their draft picks.
True. I don't think they could have actually acquired a player. I think they could have been in negotiations like after the season is
over.
Well,
they could probably acquire prospects.
Yeah, I think that was the extent of it. But pretty much the article I read, the biggest impact, the legitimization of the organization would be is teams would make deals with them to not pick this player off their roster.
Yeah, which is tampering, but...
Technically, but it would have been legal.
Yeah.
Do they inherit someone's farm team, or, like, how does that whole thing happen?
I don't know, actually, but...
There are plenty of players out there that will be unsigned, so their farm team won't be the strongest, but, you know, they're going to have, you know, a few extra players to pick from teams that'll start in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are always players out there, you know, NHL free agents, you know, college free agents.
ECHL.
I wouldn't be surprised if their eventual, like, dedicated farm team is going to be in Vegas, because there's other rinks in Vegas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they could do that. They have, like, a 10% chance of the first pick right now.
That'd be so interesting.
Yeah, they had the same odds as the third worst team, right?
Yeah, which is kind of nuts that, I mean...
Call Edmonton.
It's funny because everyone's writing off this draft. Everyone's saying, oh yeah, you know, it's a weak draft, so throw away all your picks. I'm not so sure. I mean, admittedly, the top of this draft clearly isn't as strong as years past, but who's to say the like number 34 pick this year won't be as good as the average number 34 pick? Like it just seems like once that kind of like convention is established, it seems like everyone just dishes it out and we take it as a fact.
I mean, Nick and I were talking about this the other day when we were watching the Stars, and I was like, where did Jamie Benn go, like, in the draft? And he was
a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, he was,
and,
yeah.
You know, Joe Pavelski was drafted, like, 208th overall.
And so there's always, you know the Detroit example with all those superstars being late-round picks. And so, you know, this, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is the most important draft in Las Vegas' franchise history.
Yeah.
that hot take. Extremely scorching hot Vegas take.
I mean, they're all important.
But, you know, if they can nail it and, you know, come out with, you know, a couple guys that in the late rounds that will wind up cracking their roster in the NHL, whether it be, probably won't be this coming season, but, you know, a year or two after that, like, it's going to be huge for them.
You're right. If they do well in this draft, then they're setting the tone for their future for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, even just, well, the biggest draft they have to worry about is the expansion draft. But
right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's first and foremost.
I mean, I still think that, you know, when they're approaching this expansion draft, they should just try to be as good as they can next season.
Yeah.
Put an entertaining product out there, give the fans something to cheer about, draft smartly, but really, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, they gotta be smart, they gotta do this, and it's like, no, just
I mean, just
put a team out there that's gonna get people out of their seats. Like, I don't know.
I agree with you like completely on this. And this sort of goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the year with the World Cup and the way the USA picks their team. You know, they were focused on, you know, picking the right team. And, well, you know, the thing is, a lot of the players that are going to be available, like, it's an entirely new team. There is no pre-existing chemistry.
Yeah, so you just know, pick maybe the best a couple players possible. That
play with each other. Yeah, you know, pick the best players and then go from there. At the very least, you'll have trade pieces to get the right players.
Yeah. So I don't know, like, for some reason I haven't been really all that excited about Vegas, the team, but that's probably just because we're so caught up in the season. It just doesn't really feel real yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen the arena, we've seen the logo, like...
Did they figure out that trademark situation, by the way?
I don't know. But all that to say that until I see a team on the ice, it's not, like, it's the same thing when the Jets came back. Like, they had their pick at the draft with the guy wearing the, like, all-black NHL jersey. I forget who that was.
Oh, I remember that.
But, you know, like, it doesn't feel real until you see a team physically on the ice, on the schedule, in the standings, you know, until you see their, like, the acronym or whatever.
Yeah.
The abbreviation, you know, what is it going to be, FVG or something?
Yeah.
Or LV, no, LVK.
It won't be LVK because they're not Las Vegas. They're just Vegas.
That's right. So. Yeah, they're gonna have to be veg.
The vegans.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, A+ for Shattenkirk, F for Burrows.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
Boyle.
Boyle.
That's like a solid B.
That's like a eh.
I think it's a good move for Toronto. Yeah.
It's a eh.
Yeah, like, I agree with you, solid B.
The Montreal Canadiens fan in you is really showing right now.
Oh, right. I guess we should quickly talk about that one.
Let's talk.
The other trade that happened, the Habs traded Greg Patterin and a 7th-round pick, something like that, for...
Jordy Benn.
I almost said Brett Ritchie.
Yeah, not to be confused with Brett Ritchie or Jamie Benn.
I really like Greg Patterin. I think he's a really good defenseman. I think that he was never going to get a fair shot in Montreal. They move him for basically a player who's a lot like him in Jordy Benn. I think he's going to be... I think he is a very good player, or at least a really solid, you know, sort of like middle of the lineup defenseman. So I'm happy with it. I mean, they're going to get a guy who's actually going to play.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
and why was Patterin not going to get a shot?
I think a lot of it was just because there was such a logjam back there. And
Dallas is not.
Well, that's the weird thing with Dallas is that, you know, they also have to worry about the expansion draft because they have a lot of defensemen. They basically have like 8 NHL defensemen. And they didn't really do anything to change that.
Yeah.
So I don't really know why they did that, but
Again, I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. I still don't know what their direction is.
I mean, yeah, Dallas. I don't know.
They're too. They have too much talent to throw it all away.
Well,
and I don't think they're going to do that.
Well, I mean, but Patterson is not. Like, he's going to make them... He's going to help them.
No, that's yeah. right. And I'm not taking away from Patterson, and yeah. I'm not saying that they are throwing it away, but yeah. it's just, like, it's hard to tell where they're going right now.
And Patterson wanted out. That's the other thing.
Oh, okay.
Like, he was done with the whole, like,
not sort of playing.
Merry-go-round.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the Habs get better. They won tonight. Big win.
Galchenyuk.
Against New Jersey.
Big win.
But they needed a win like that. And I think that, you know, Galchenyuk getting the OT winner, Radulov getting a goal, and then Pacioretty getting two goals.
Could be a start of a hot streak.
This is kind of looking like the start of something.
And a win for El Montoya.
And a win, yeah. And, you know, I think Claude Julien has definitely... You can see how this team is already playing a little better. I saw a stat on Twitter the other day that they... through the first three games of Julien's tenure... Montreal went from 28th in the league in controlled zone exits to 16th.
Wow.
So
that's a big jump.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I mean, it's a small sample. We'll see if it maintains. But when I'm watching them play now, I just, and again, maybe it's a little bit of confirmation bias, but I just kind of see more of like organized play. It feels a little crisper. So
I mean, I think
I don't know if crisper is a word, but anyway.
It is when you're talking about refrigerators. this is probably a pointless question to ask, but on that, piggybacking off that stat, do you know where Boston went from control zone?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah,
no, like, but Boston has been playing well.
Yeah, because I was going to say if you know, Montreal got better, they made that kind of jump, and you know, Boston took a step back.
Maybe,
you know, it sort of legitimizes it a little bit.
I think with every good coach, what I've noticed when they leave, there's always their effect kind of trickles over for a little while.
Yeah,
and an event like I mean, you look at Anaheim this season, and I think they're still kind of decent. Just because A, the talent they have, but also just there's a bit of that leftover Boudreaux. You know,
leftover Boudreaux is my favorite band, by the way.
Next year might be ugly. I mean, anyway. So yeah, a lot to talk about, and there will be more.
Yep.
I'm like, today was insane.
Mm.
Tomorrow, like I've like I'm gonna get up at like so early tomorrow because I don't want to miss anything. Because today I slept in a little bit. And I woke up and I was thinking, shoot, like, I hope nothing big happened because I have the FOMO thing. Like, I don't want to miss when the trade happens, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to see it 30 or 40 minutes afterwards because then...
You don't want to be that guy.
Everyone has already tweeted about it and you're just catching up.
You know, okay, this is one of my personal pet peeves. And I'm sorry if someone listens to this and knows that it's them that I'm talking about. But when
wait. Are you about to bring back our favorite segment, throwing shade at friends?
I might be subtweeting here, but like if the trade happened like an hour ago and an hour later you quote tweet the like trade and you put, whoa, it's like, like, I'm sorry, but
you're
a little less impactful.
You can say it. You're talking about me. It's fine. It's totally.
Did you do that?
I don't think I did, but I...
But he has.
Well, no, because I've actually had that thought process of, it's been like 30 minutes. I can't react now as if this is like brand new.
You can react. You can react. It's just don't... Like, I think the short word kind of like gut instinct like tweets should be reserved for if you saw it in the moment.
In the moment, yeah. Otherwise...
I don't know. Like, these rules are completely arbitrary. Like, there isn't, like, you...
But I think we're in agreement upon
I'm making
them.
This shit up, you know, like, this is just the way I see it.
I'd say after 30 minutes, you have to have, like, a perspective take.
Yeah.
It's got to be, like, deeper.
By the way, tomorrow I was planning on finally sending out my tweet of Gretzky being traded to LA.
Oh, man. Dude.
Wait, what? Did I miss something?
No, because you get it, because it's like he waited so long. He waited past the 30.
Oh.
You get
it. Oh, wow.
You get it.
Jeez. Man. See, like, I'm calling other people out, but I'm the idiot here.
Oh, figure it out, bud.
Yeah. I mean, Ben Bishop is still, like, that still happened, so I'm still kind of reeling from that.
I know.
So excuse any hardwiring.
I think I may never get over that, the Ben Bishop thing. It's so weird.
Yeah, like, I've been thinking about it, and it's funny because I was texting a Kings fan today, and I was like, yeah, awful trade. And then just, like, an hour later, they reply, true. Like, there's not even like even they I mean, this is obviously one person, but this is a pretty diehard Kings fan, and even them, they're not like gung-ho about it.
Yeah,
because it's like, who cares that you gotta Anyway, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole.
We did it yesterday.
But, yeah, good trades today. Lots to talk about. More to talk about. Looking forward to it. And, yeah, I think people are liking the pods this week.
Yeah. And I think
today's got a little love on Twitter, and I actually posted the episode today on Facebook.
What?
So
I wow, I didn't even see that.
I'm doing that,
dude. I mean, our Facebook presence—that's our first footprint.
I think the night of the deadline, we might do like a live thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I really feel bad for those teams. Well, I don't feel bad because they're making money talking about hockey. But you know, they're the whole trade deadline show. TSN and Sportsnet is kind of.
I mean, they have three desks, and they look so stressed out because they're all on... They each have a phone in both ears, and they're on their laptops, and it's like, this is coming
in. But, I mean, no, I'm saying, like, now they have nothing to talk about.
Oh yeah, like, all the good stuff
like happened. James Duthie tweeted, uncle, like, when the Shattenkirk trade happened.
Just make it stop. Yeah. Save
like,
it.
Like, there should be a rule. Honestly, there should be a rule. Save all the trades for the day of.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Like,
you know, we're talking about sports here.
And then you add in the drama of... Are they going to make the deadline call? Like, is all the paperwork going to get through?
Yeah, I mean, what I've heard people suggest is that for the trade deadline, you should have it be like the draft where you get all the GMs in one place.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
And then, yeah, and you can, and then, because then for the TV audience, then you see the GMs talking to each other, and I just feel like that'd be way more fun.
I say you have the GMs post up in a cool place like Miami or Vegas. You give them some drinks.
Yeah.
Like
alcohol. Like
buzz them out and have them make some weird decisions. Like,
oh, God, here comes Doug.
There should be a rule that you can't make a trade until you've had like four drinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like mandatory two shots at least.
But in all seriousness, I think that if you had all the guys in the same place or even had to have the deals in the same day, you would see more deals because there'd just be more... There'd be more like kind of flinch reactions and maybe potentially bad deals, but you would see more volume, you know, because now it's like we had a bunch of, I mean, we've had a lot of trades happen, but I think it's better when it's all on the day of.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know if it totally, the only people it really matters for is the TV networks.
Yeah.
Right.
For us, we're getting all the info.
Because what's happening now, instead of everything happening on one day, it's sort of like what's happening with Christmas, where it's becoming like a month of Christmas, and it's sort of becoming... It's sort of becoming like a week of the trade deadline instead of just the trade deadline day.
Yeah, I mean, it all started with Timo Pulkkinen today.
Yeah.
So
the first domino to fall.
Bring it back around.
All right.
You feel good about it?
Yeah, we're done here.
I feel good about it. Guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. If you want to hear more, we are on iTunes and Stitcher. If you want to join the conversation, hit us up on Twitter, at Garage Hockey Pod, or even on Facebook. You can hit us up on there now because apparently we're active.
one post.
One post. It's a start.
Wait, start of a streak.
Yep. And also, we will likely be back in the studio on Wednesday for the trade deadline.
We're here all week.
We're here all week. Yeah, we got nowhere to be. Guys, thank you for listening. We will talk to you very soon.